Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. The Word of God says, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in a word of prayer as we come to the preaching of God's holy word. Our Father, we do thank you so much for your holy word. It truly is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And so now open up our eyes to see wondrous things from your law. We pray you would teach us and help us and instruct us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Proverbs 19 and verse 20. That is my verse for this afternoon, focusing on this one verse. Again, the verse says, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days." And so we see in this text the counsel, instruction, and that brings wisdom. So the main point of this sermon is listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. My first point, listen to counsel and receive instruction. Listen to counsel and receive instruction. My second point, wise in your latter days. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life where you have had a decision that was important? And for that decision, you didn't seek counsel. You just in yourself just said, "I'm just going to do it this way. And I'm just going to decide on my own without talking to anybody else." Compare that with maybe there have been times in your life where you had a big important decision and you sought the counsel of others, maybe other brothers or sisters or pastors or good godly friends, especially the Word of God. And compare what was better. Maybe in God's grace you still made the right decision, but what was better? And think about the positives, the benefits of seeking counsel from others. And so we see from this text the importance of the Christian life. One of the importance in the Christian life is seeking counsel, is by receiving instruction. This is what God wants for us, to listen to counsel and receive instruction. Because as I said this morning, for those who are here, the Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. We're meant to live within the context of church community where we're able to encourage and help one another. And so again, the first point is listen to counsel and receive instruction. One of the key ways a person grows into Christian maturity is by listening to counsel and receiving instruction. We cannot grow if we are unwilling to receive counsel or to listen to counsel and receive instruction. Some people, they never want to be taught. One of the most unhealthy, sometimes we have a joke about this when someone's like a teenager, they think they know everything. That's one of the most unhealthy places for a person to be. Not wanting to listen to counsel, not wanting to hear from anybody else. They think they have everything solved and everyone else is just a problem and they're the answer. That is a problem. That is dangerous. When people think they don't need anybody's help. They have every answer. They have every solution. They never ask for counsel. They never receive it from anyone else. Those type of people are fools and arrogant. But the Word of God says we should be those, if we profess to know God and be united with Jesus Christ, that listen to counsel, that receive instruction. And I'm going to go through, let me see in my notes how many, four different places where we should receive, listen to counsel and receive instruction. Number one, the Word of God. preeminently. Where do we listen to counsel and receive instruction? By receiving God's word. It's through the word that we are made wise. And so let me show you some texts about this. If you turn with me to Psalm 119, Psalm 119, and verse 97, and I'm going to read 97 through 100. Psalm 119, 97 through 100. As we think first to listen to counsel and receive instruction, the first place we must go is none other than the written word of God. Because God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I always find this psalm, this portion of Psalm 19 very interesting. Because if you didn't know the context, it would sound very arrogant. But his boast is not ultimately in himself. His boast is in the word of God. His confidence is not in himself. It's in what God has given to him in the scriptures. And so he says, oh, how I love your law. The law of God is this man's meditation all the day. Because through God's commandments, he's wiser than his enemies. He has more understanding than all his teachers. And he knows more than even the elderly people. But again, not because of himself, but because he's hidden God's word in his heart, that he might not sin against God. And so the boast is, the reason why he's able to say he's wiser than his enemies, more understanding than all his teachers, more understanding than the ancients, is because he is listening to the counsel and receiving the instruction from Scripture. And this would be true of everyone who's a Christian if they have unbelieving enemies, unbelieving teachers, unbelieving older people. We are wiser than them because we have the Word of God. That's not arrogant in ourselves. That's just saying the Word of God makes a difference. Someone who has the Word of God, listens to its counsel, receives its instruction, is wiser, better, and better off than anyone who doesn't. You could be 95 years old, and if you don't have the Word of God listening to its counsel, it's better for someone who's 12 who does. That person has more life experience. But who's wiser? The 12-year-old who is listening to the counsel and receiving the instruction of the Word of God. Because being old doesn't automatically make you wise. We know that ordinarily age brings wisdom. That's the general principle of the Word of God. But if someone has lived in sin and debauchery for 95 years of their life, they're not going to have a lot of wisdom. But someone who even for a few years has been humble to listen to God's counsel and receive God's instruction, that person with a good conscience can say, I'm wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, and I understand more than the ancients. Because the word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This also shows us the folly of thinking, especially for spiritual things, especially there, that people that don't have God's word in their heart because they're not born again, that somehow they're going to help us. Because this text says that someone who doesn't have the word of God, that's the implication, someone who does is much wiser than enemies, teachers, or even old people. Because the word of God is the foundation for everything. And that's why Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I've been quoting it, but I want to keep quoting it throughout this sermon. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What that means, if people don't have the word, you know what that means? They're in darkness. And that means the moment when they're walking around, what do they see? Nothing but darkness. And therefore they stumble and trip and they live like they do because they're in darkness. And then when someone is born again, they are given lights. And then they have the word of God as a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. And so therefore, the word of God is the foundation for everything. It's our only infallible rule of what we believe and how we behave. And the first place we go when we think, I need to get counsel, I need to get instruction. What do the scriptures say? I love that in Romans chapter 4. I took my Bible class for that this week. Because we were talking about in Matthew 15, in the Bible book, about Jesus talking about the traditions of the elders and how he was basically saying, you may null and void the law of God. And I took them to, now I forgot the text I just referenced because I did that. Romans 4, yes, thank you. Romans chapter 4. And Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is talking about the reality of justification being the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he's seeking to prove the case. And I love what he says in there. He says, for what do the scriptures say? And then he quotes Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God and was counted him for righteousness. And so he says, he's building this case. And what does he say the ultimate thing I'm looking to? What do the scriptures say? And so if you want counsel, if you want knowledge, if you want wisdom, the first question you should ask, what do the scriptures say? What do the scriptures say? And this is why it's so good to memorize scripture, to have it in your heart. Maybe you don't know the exact reference. Maybe you don't know exactly where to flip and find it, but you know enough where that's what God's word says. It's so important because again, the psalmist says, the psalmist says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it's so important that we have God's word and we know it and we believe it and we practice it. And then if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of the key texts about the authority, the inspiration, the authority, and the sufficiency of Scripture, we see there as well this truth. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It says there, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we see there, what is Scripture profitable for? To teach us right doctrine, to correct or to reprove us, to correct us, to instruct us in righteousness. That the man of God and also the people of God, by implication, may be complete. They may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And therefore, there is no good work that God would want you to do. There's no doctrine. There's no practice. There's no good work that God wants you to know or do that's not found either explicitly or necessarily contained in Holy Scripture. Therefore, when we need counsel, what do we go to? The Word of God. And so first, when the Psalm or Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to counsel and receive instruction, the first thing you should think is, what do the scriptures say? That is foundational. It's sad. Many people, sadly, even professing Christians, they'll go to pop psychology or what makes them feel good or what gives them the feeling that they think it's right, and they don't even think about what do the scriptures say. They go to everything else but the scriptures. They go to secular people or worldly people or people that will sprinkle a few Bible verses but not really helping them think about what the word says and how it applies. And therefore, we must be diligent to know what God's word says and actually do what God's word says, because it's not just good enough. Listening and receiving instruction implies that you're doing it. Because it's not good enough to listen and receive in the sense that you just hear it, but you don't put into practice. But listening and receiving according to what God means by that means you put it into practice. You do what you've received. Because James, by the Holy Spirit, says it very strongly. Do not be hearers or be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Deceiving yourselves. Second, though, we see in the Word of God that we are to listen to parents. God has put parents in the lives of children as a blessing to help guide them in the way they ought to go. The fifth commandment, which is the first commandment with promise, honor your father and mother. And then children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and you might live long on the earth. Exodus 20:12, Ephesians 6:1-3, and then Colossians 3:20 says, children obey your parents in the Lord, or children obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Let me get that one exactly right. I don't want to misquote it. Colossians 3, verse 20. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And so we see the reality that children are given parents to listen to their counsel and receive their instruction. Children are commanded to honor and submit and to obey their parents. And so God has given parents for that purpose, so that they might be wise, they might receive their counsel and have the wisdom that comes from them. Obviously, this is all with the category of parents have to be giving biblical counsel, because it goes back to what's the ultimate authority is the Word of God. But especially when a child has believing parents, but even if they have parents that just have common grace wisdom, in the sense of they just have general kindness towards their children, it is God's will for those children to listen to the counsel and receive the instruction of their own parents. One of the best places to go for people to get counsel is their own parents. Because if parents, even if they're not saved, even if they just have a common grace love for their children, they want what's good for their children. But especially if they're converted. As an example for myself, before I proposed to Liz, I don't live with my parents. I'm not under their authority, their roof, in that same way. I'm still called to honor them. But I made sure my dad was good with me proposing before I proposed. I didn't have to, technically. Of course, I asked her dad as well. But because I wanted to honor and get his counsel, if he would have told me, wait, I would have said, okay, I'll wait. Or no, I would have said, okay. I would have asked why, probably. But obviously, I'm engaged, so he said yes. But I wanted to make sure I got the permission and the counsel from my own dad. Because God gave me my parents for a reason. And one key thing that I'm commanded to do is honor them. And by listening to their counsel and receiving their instruction is one key way we honor our father and mother. And so it's so important that we seek to get counsel and instruction from especially godly parents. And so if you have godly parents, use them in the positive sense of that word. Take advantage of them in the positive sense of that phrase, of their counsel. Because if their counsel is contrary to what you think, it's probably best to at least pump the brakes. If not, say, okay, I'll go a different route. Because parents are meant to be helpful in counsel and instruction. They're given for a reason. They're purposely given for the good of children under them. And so we should listen and honor and respect our father and our mother. We live in a culture that I actually didn't know this, but through talking about, I guess it's even become less and less common that men will even ask the father to get married to daughters. Because we live in a culture, I mean, that seems absurd to me. I mean, I even asked before we start dating, let alone engagement, I can't even imagine that you would marry a daughter without getting the dad's permission. But we live in a culture that has disrespect to parents, doesn't care about parental authority, doesn't care about them. But God thinks that's rebellion. Because the first commandment with promise is honor your father and mother. But we live in a culture that thinks we can do it better, we don't need our parents, we can do our own thing. And even I don't have a TV in my house and all these things, so I'm not up with all the latest entertainment stuff, but I've heard and I'm aware enough that a lot of the shows, what do they do? What do they mock? The father. What do they go against? The patriarchy. Because they hate the patriarchy and they want to do everything to dissuade people from saying we need to honor, especially the father and mother as well, because honor your father and mother. But what do? They try to make it a man seem foolish or incompetent or just foolish, or stupid is a Bible word, so I'll use it. Even stupid. That's what they want you to think. And what a rare thing it is, and what a wonderful thing it is to see in a Christian young person that truly honors their father and their mother. What a truly beautiful thing to see a child, a young person, not perfectly, but sincerely respects, honors, loves, and submits to their parents. That's one key way you can tell a child's been converted. One key way is their attitude towards their parents changes. They go from maybe going through the motions to actually desiring to obey, honor, and respect their parents. And therefore, under the word of God, a child, a young adult, under the word of God, the most important people that they should receive counsel from and instruction is their mom and dad. Is their mom and dad. Not their friends, not their peers, but their mom and dad. But also this affects the relationship of mom and dad to the kids. The mom and dad should build a relationship with them, should seek to invest in them through family worship, through catechism, through spending time with them, through taking them out, being with them, so that there is that built up trust between the two. And therefore, you seek to make it as easy as possible for them to come to you. It's their responsibility to honor, but it's parents' responsibility to make it easy on them in the biblical sense of that thinking, where they see grace and kindness and love. And if they ever come confessing a sin, they don't feel beat over the head. Because one of the worst ways for a parent to ruin a relationship with their child is when they humbly come to confess and the parents, instead of showing grace and mercy like Christ does, they beat them over the head. Then the child thinks, I'm never coming back to my parents like this. Does that mean that we're not displeased with them? No, we should be displeased. God's displeased. But there's a difference between being displeased and making them feel worthless and beating them down. There's a difference. Christ is displeased with us when we sin, but he never beats us over the head and makes us feel worthless in the sense of we can't come. And so it's both and. But children ought to receive the counsel of their parents. Number three, the third one. Receiving counsel from pastors. Receiving counsel from pastors. This isn't self-serving, this is biblical. So if you're worried about me being self-serving, this is straight from the Bible. Members are received counsel from their pastors. Let me show you some key texts. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. It says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So remember those who rule over you, meaning your pastors, your elders, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith, their faith, follow it, considering the outcome of their conduct. Or then verse 17. Of the same chapter, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And so we see, just like children are to obey their parents, members are to obey those who have the rule over them. And what key way they do that? By seeking the counsel, guidance of their pastors. Because the pastors are appointed to watch out for the souls as those who must give an account. And the members should seek to listen to the counsel and receive the instruction of the pastors in such a way that the pastors can serve with joy and not with grief. Because that would be unprofitable. It doesn't say for the pastors, ultimately, but for the people. It would be unprofitable for you. And so God has appointed pastors in the church for the purpose of equipping the saints, encouraging the saints, giving good counsel to the saints, helping the saints understand the word of God, so that they might be more godly. And so some of the best people to reach out to are pastors, because they are uniquely given. Because when you commit to be a member of a church, you are agreeing that I am going to let this man or men, if you have multiple elders or one elder, watch over my soul. If you're actually obeying Hebrews 13, 17. This is also a key verse for why church membership is biblical. A pastor in California cannot watch over your soul. A pastor in Ohio can't, or Texas, or Maine, or Florida. But this text says you must be obeying and submitting to someone who has the rule over you. To those who have a rule over you. And this is not, again, this is talking about in the church. And so therefore, question for people who don't believe in church membership is, who are you obeying? Who are you submitting to? Who has the rule over you spiritually? Who are you? How can you obey this verse if you're not a member of a church? How can you obey this verse? Who's watching out for your soul? Who are those who are ruling over you and watching out for your soul? Could I call them up right now? Do you have their number? Do they have your number? Are you with them consistently? Have you opened up your heart to be led by them and obeying and submitting to them? Or are you just doing your own thing? And someone would say, well, I can do that at the church I'm visiting. Well, by doing that, you're saying, I don't have to commit to get the benefits. And it's the same with the culture. I can live with someone. I don't have to get married to them. I can get all the benefits, but I don't have to commit. And to put it in our modern day language, Jesus doesn't want you to date the church. He wants you to commit to the church in marriage, in that sense, to use that illustration. He wants you to commit so that you can be under the blessing of the church, so that you can have your soul cared for, be watched for, not just by the pastors, but of course, by being helped by the other members. But we see the importance of the church and the importance of those who are watching out for souls. And you should want to do this in such a way that you can help the pastors do it with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable to you. You know, the best ways to help pastors serve with joy, not with grief. And when I talk about the church to people, that's a lot of times how I describe this church. This church lets me serve with joy and not with grief, or that would be unprofitable for them. That's a key way that I describe this church, and I mean it. This church is teachable, wants to hear, and I just feel when I get to pastor this church, I get to do this with joy and not with grief. It's fantastic. This verse, I love this verse because I experienced this. Because I have people that want to hear, want to learn, and want to grow, and it's wonderful. But to continue to grow in that, you should be people who want to know the word and practice the word. And when you hear something from the pulpit, you should desire to put it into practice. Or if I admonish you privately, you should seek to do it. Obviously, the ultimate authority is Scripture, not me. But God has given you a pastor for a reason. And God wants you, as members of Triune Grace, to listen to my counsel and receive my instruction. Because Hebrews 13:17 is in the Bible. And again, this can sound self-serving. I'm just trying to be biblical. I'm just trying to explain to you, you should listen to the word of God, to parents, to pastors. And right now I'm the only pastor. We pray that God would raise up others, but until that timing, this is what God has for us. And so it should be your desire to help have me serve with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So listen to counsel and receive instruction, that it might go well with you. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. Jesus ascended on high, and he gave gifts. And one of those gifts are pastors, so that the church might be built up, encouraged, and equipped, that they might grow in maturity. Ultimately, I'm under the word of God as well. I'm under the authority of Scripture. But all of us together as a church are to seek to live in such a way that we obey those who have the rule over us and be submissive. And you know what happens if another elder gets appointed? Then I'm to obey him and submit to him and vice versa, because he's ruling over me as I'm ruling over him, because I'm first a sheep and then I'm a shepherd. I'm first a man, a Christian man, and then a Christian minister. And so this is so important that we have this in the church, that the church believes and seeks to listen to counsel and receive instruction from those who rule over them. And then lastly, godly saints. Godly saints. That's somewhat redundant. I could just say the saints. But we see, okay, we should submit to the word of God. We should listen to the word of God. We should listen to parents. We should listen to pastors. And we should listen to other saints. Romans 14 and verse 14 puts it like this, if you turn there. Romans 14 and verse 14. Romans 14 and verse 14. Romans 14:14 says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." So he's talking to the church collectively. He's saying, I know that you are a church, you're full of goodness. The church is full of goodness. They're filled with all knowledge. They're a knowledgeable church. They're walking in goodness. And they're also able to admonish or exhort or encourage one another. And so the church is meant to encourage one another. Like we saw this morning, we are to exhort one another daily while it's called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so God has put each us in each other's lives so that we can encourage each other. And so if my brother or sister gives me counsel or I receive counsel from them, I should listen to it because they have the Holy Spirit just like I do. And therefore, the church collectively is able to admonish one another. And therefore, it's not just the pastor seeking to give counsel, it's the whole church seeking to give counsel. And so when one of my brothers or sisters say to me that I really think this is the way you ought to go, I should take that serious. Because the church is filled with goodness and knowledge, and therefore they're able to admonish me, and I'm able to admonish them, and we're able to admonish one another. And therefore we should seek the counsel of our brethren. We should desire to hear what others have to say. And so the church is healthy when people are not thinking like the pastor just does everything in the sense that he's the only one that can counsel, he's the only one that can care for people, he's the only one that can admonish people. That's not biblical. A biblical church is, yes, the pastors are to take the lead in it, but the whole membership is to exhort one another. The whole membership is to admonish one another. The whole church is to build one another up. And so we need one another. And this is why it's so important that we gather, we're with each other, because God has given eyes to the church. He's given ears to the church. He's given feet to the church. He's given legs to the church, to use the imagery in 1 Corinthians 12. You might be a different body part than me, but it doesn't mean that we don't need your body part. We need each other to build one another up. The eye shouldn't say to the ear, we don't need you, or vice versa. We need one another. Because there's things that the ear does that the eye doesn't. There's things that you bring to the church that I might not, or vice versa. We need one another. And therefore, we should be seeking to counsel, instruct, correct, admonish one another. Exhorting one another. And to make the application to this church more pointedly, because it was a bigger group this morning, but so we hear it, you need to have people in your life that are consistently helping you grow, that you're receiving instruction from, that you're listening to, that you're asking questions about, so that you could have people that can exhort you, that you could have people that would be an influence in your life. And so we need that. We need to listen to our brothers and sisters in Christ because they are a great help to us. So listen to the Word of God as the ultimate authority. Parents, pastors, and godly saints are under the Word of God. Parents' counsel, pastors' counsel, other saints' counsel is only good insofar as it gives you biblical counsel. But they also are helpful if they're giving you biblical counsel. And there's an authority. When your parents give you counsel, it's more serious than when someone just randomly on the street gives it to you. When your pastor that you've committed to, when they give you counsel, it's more serious than just a random person on the street. Even if both are biblical, there's a more weight to it. And if people in our membership give you counsel, it's more weighty than just a random person on the street. Because you covenanted with this body. You said, I agree, I'm going to obey and submit to its leadership, and I'm going to be a blessing to the others. So there's more authority to that because of the relationship you have with your parents, with your pastors, and with other members of this church. And so we must listen to counsel and receive instruction from the Word of God, from parents, from pastors, and from the saints. So my question for you, do you desire to listen to counsel and receive instruction? Is it your desire? Do you want to know God's word and to apply it? Do you have the humility, if you don't know, to ask somebody? Do you have the humility to get help on decisions that you need to make and say, I'm not quite sure, let's talk through this? Or have you bought the lie that you don't need anyone else but yourself? We need each other. We need each other. And we must seek the counsel and the instruction from one another. Now my second point, wise in your latter days. Wise in your latter days, which is the second half of the verse. It says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. When a person genuinely hears and heeds counsel and instruction from God's word, parents, pastors, and godly saints, it makes them wiser in their latter days. This more pictures a child that is reared in the truth of the Word of God by good parents, by good pastors, by other godly saints, and by taking that counsel and instruction to heart when they grow older and when they get out of their parents' house, because they were nurtured in the truth and they received it, they're able to make very wise decisions in their latter days. A child that grew up in a Christian home, bathed with the truth, being educated in the truth, cared for and being under the good preaching of godly pastors, in a fellowship with godly saints, there is unspeakable blessing to that. Sometimes people can take for granted what they have. But it's such a blessing when a child grows up with that. When they grow up with the godly counsel, and if they receive it, if they hide it in their heart, if they live by it, it will make their days better and wiser because they will receive and live according to that counsel. And so the only way that we can be wise is by fearing the Lord. And so this counsel is rooted in fearing the Lord and conforming our life to His Word. And so a young person should desire to receive and or listen to counsel and receive instruction so that they may be wise in their latter days. And the first counsel every child and every person must receive to truly be wise is the counsel of putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Scriptures were given to make us wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There is no true wisdom, there is no true counsel, unless we first come to Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. We must be made wise unto salvation before we can be made wise in Christian living. And so that's foundational. We must come to see ourselves in need of Christ, believing upon Christ, and resting upon Christ, because only in Christ can we actually have wisdom unto salvation and unto sanctification. Because Christ is the wisdom of God. He's the wisdom and power of God, according to Colossians or 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so we should desire to be wise in our latter days. But the same truth is true for older people. Those who receive listen to counsel and receive instruction, they are wise. They receive wisdom from heaven because they're willing to listen to God's word and listen to good counsel from it. Wisdom is needed. We must be wise. We need wisdom. And wisdom comes by listening to counsel and receiving instruction. The Proverbs talk about the blessing of wisdom. I'm just going to read a few of these. You don't have to turn there with me. But Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "She," that means wisdom, "is more precious than rubies. And all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Or Proverbs 8 and verse 35, it says, "For whoever finds me," that means wisdom, "finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Or Proverbs 16 and verse 16, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." That's a wonderful text. It's better to have wisdom than have much money. It's better to have understanding than have silver. Gold and silver are not worth the blessing that comes from a man or woman, boy or girl, having wisdom. And so for a person to be made wise in their latter days, they must know Jesus Christ as God's wisdom, as the wisdom and power of God, and therefore they also must listen to counsel and receive instruction. But this takes time. This is why I think people like the easier routes, is because it's humbling, it's time consuming to really search the scriptures, to get counsel from other godly people, whether parents, pastors, or other godly saints. It takes time. But we must have the humility, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We must have the humility to seek the counsel of our brothers and sisters and from pastors and from parents. We must have the humility, because only then can we truly be wise in our latter days. So anyone here without the salvation found in Jesus Christ, there's no way that they can be wise in their latter days or ever because they are without Christ, the fountain of wisdom. And so therefore, if you are without Christ, come to Christ, the fountain of wisdom, and find in him the wisdom for salvation and for sanctification, to know God and to live for God, only in Christ. And as believers in Christ, we should desire, we should long to listen to counsel and receive instruction from the Word of God, from parents, from pastors, and other godly saints. We can't do this alone. We need other people. We need the counsel preeminently from the Word, but from others. We need it. We desperately need it. And it's also a blessing as well. When you receive the counsel from others and you make a decision, you can feel more confident in it because you did what God told you to do. Listen to counsel and receive instruction. And you can have even more confidence. And if things backfire, you can at least have a good conscience and say, I did what God commanded. I didn't see this and this. No one else did. But I did what God commanded. I listened to counsel. I received instruction. I received instruction. I searched the scriptures. I asked others. So we must have the humility and discernment to receive counsel. We must desire it. And what a blessing it is, and how critical it is to have the fear of the Lord and listen to counsel. How important it is. In a world that is me, myself, and I can pick myself up by my own bootstraps. I don't need anybody else. That's our cultural thinking, by and large. What a rare thing it is for someone to have the humility to say, can you help me? Can you give me counsel on this? Can you help me think through this? Can you show me scriptures that talk about this? Can you pray with me over this? Can you help me to know what's the best decision? I need help. Haven't we already admitted that if we're Christians? Isn't that not the essence of conversion? I can't save myself. I need help. We've already humbled ourselves to the greatest degree. I can't save myself. There's nothing I can do to get myself to heaven. What is humbling ourselves before a brother or sister saying, will you please help me have some counsel over this? If we've done it for salvation, why can't we not do it in the life lived for Christ? And so, my beloved brethren, listen to counsel and receive instruction, that it may be wise, that you may be wise in your latter days. Because the one who finds wisdom finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would apply these things to our heart. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.